Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs, and our learning of Mishnah Yomi continues in Chapter 12 of Ketuvot, Mishnah Gimel. Almana, a widow, she'amra, that she's telling the heirs of her deceased husband, efshi, it's impossible for me, lazuz mibayit baili, to leave the home of my husband. She wants to continue living in the home she was in. You could understand there's a lot of emotional attachment. She has all the pictures up of her and the late husband together. So in this case, Eina Yorshin Yacholin, the heirs of the husband cannot tell her, Lomar lo, lechi leveit avich, go back to your family of origin, where you grew up. The anu zanin otach, and we will send you food and clothing to there. They have to feed her and provide for her from the assets of the estate of her late husband, Bevet Baila, in the home she was living in with the husband, Venotnin La Mador Lefik Voda. And they have to give her a room, a dwelling, according to her honor. What this last statement means is, you understand, if they were living in a large home together, it would certainly be reasonable for some of the heirs of the late husband to move into the home as well. But they do have to leave a reasonable living space for the widow. And then Mefarshim point out based on the Gemara that of course she could keep whatever furniture and clothing and utensils that she was using when her husband was alive. Now the Mishnah brings a slightly different case. Amra, the widow, said, efshi lozuz, I cannot leave mi beit abba, from my father's home, the home she grew up in. So what's going on here is after her husband passed away, she didn't want to live in that marital home without him. Understandable. So she moved back in to the home she grew up in with whatever of her family is living there to have the company, to have the emotional support. Totally understandable. So in this case, Yecholim Hayorshim, the heirs of the husband, are allowed to tell her, Lomarla, to tell her, Im at etzleinu, if you are with us, in living in the house with us, Yeshlich Mizono, we'll give you the full measure of support. Vim ein at etzleinu, if you're not living with us, we're not going to give you food. Now, they have to give her something, but we understand it's cheaper, it's less expensive for them. You know, if there's 10 of them living in the home and they want to cook a little bit more, a little bit extra, it's less expensive for them to feed her if she's there. So they would prorate, if she's going to stay in a different home, they will prorate the amount of support that the estate is going to send her. Before she can point out, we have a statement in Chazal, Birkata Bayit Lefi Ribo, if you have a lot of people in the home, there's more bracha, and they explain this could mean there's more people available to watch the kids and the grandkids, to do little chores. You can go to Costco and buy things in bulk. So it's a little bit easier for everyone if there are more people there pitching in. And if she makes a claim, mipnei shehi yolda, because she's on the younger side, vehen yuladim, and they're also on the younger side. So what's going on here is the heirs of her late husband are not her own children. They are children from a prior marriage. Their late husband was married once, had children, had sons, and now those sons want to move into the home where the widow is, and she's, you know, about the same age, maybe the same decade. It might be some sort of temptation, and that would be a forbidden, biblically forbidden relationship. So in this case, zonin ota v'hi bevet aviha. She can certainly move back to her home where she grew up with her original family of origin, and they should send her the full amount of food to that location. Now, Mishnah Dalet explains more. Kol zman shi bevet avia, as long as the widow is living in her own father's house, her ancestral home, govek duvata leolam, she can always collect her ketuva even after many decades. Kol zman shi bevet bala, and if she's living in the home of her deceased husband, she wanted to stay there, govek duvata, she may collect her ketuva ad esrim v'chamesh Shanim, until 25 years have elapsed since his death. Now, the Mishnah explains why this is, why there's a statute of limitations. Sheyesh be'esrim v'chamesh shanim, because over the course of those 25 years, there's enough opportunity, shetase tova kenegi ktvata, that she's done good things in equivalent amount of her ketuva. Now, what this means is living in this house, she has access to assets of the estate and money of her deceased husband, and she uses that money, for instance, to give a little tzedakah, to give a loaf of bread to a pauper, to let the neighbors borrow some eggs, and with the expectation they don't have to give it back. So she's, we assume over 25 years, a normal woman gives away enough assets that would have been her ketuvah. So she's kind of used it up, you know, doing good deeds. Not that she should be penalized for doing good deeds, but Lamaisa, she has expended assets from the estate equivalent in value to her ketuvah payment. Divrei Rebbe Meir. All of the above is according to Rebbe Meir. She'amar, that he says, Bishum Rabban, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And he says this in the name of his own teacher, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. V'chochamim omrim, but the other sages disagree. They say, Kol zman jehi beveit baila, as long as she's living in the home of her deceased husband, Gove ketuvata le'olam, she can always collect her ketuvah even after many decades. And Kol zman shehi beveit aviyah, and if she's living in her ancestral home, her father's side, Gove ketuvata ad esrim v'chameh shanim, then she has a limitation. She can collect the ketuvah up through 25 years. And before I explain, the heirs of the husband don't mind that the widow is giving out things to the neighbors, giving a loaf of bread to a pauper, even though she's using the funds of the estate, their own money. They don't mind that she's doing good deeds from the house because it sort of gives a good reputation to everyone who lives in the house. It's a wonderful thing to have a Yiddish babi, to have a Jewish grandmother who's helping out with the neighbors and known as a real tzedekis in the neighborhood. It's a good thing for everyone. However, if she's not living in the home, then we assume after 25 years, there's mechila. We assume after that long, without her mentioning that she wants the ketuvah payment, we assume that she's already forgiven receiving that payment due to the length of time. Now, finally, the Mishnah rule says, meta, if she had passed away, your sheha, her own heirs, like her children, who might be entitled to her share of the ketuvah, mazkirin ketuvata, they need to mention her ketuvah to the estate, to the heirs of the husband, ad esrim v'chameh shanim, before 25 years have elapsed. And again, we assume after 25 years, there's mechila, they've forgiven the debt. Now, importantly, we mentioned that if a widow is collecting her ketuvah from the heirs, she has to make a shavua, an oath that she did not get anything when her husband was alive. So in this case, we'd have to say, the Mefarshim point out, that this widow actually made a shavua that she had not received her ketuvah payment, because her heirs can't make a shavua on her behalf. She has to make the shavua while she's still alive, and then her heirs would be able to collect the ketuvah later, as long as there's no mechila. Yashar kochachem, zay gezunt.